For DJC.
DJC, KF4NXY.
Afternoon, David. How are you doing today?
Good. We out here in the country, taking the back to Anderson. A couple of things at Academy Sports that I want the better half to take a look at to maybe purchase for Christmas.
They got it in stock. You probably better ought to go ahead and get it, I think. She looks like we're going to have some shortages maybe coming up, but who knows? Doesn't seem like we picked up on some things. The other things we just keep running out of.
I've never seen a time in this country where we've had so many shortages, and I don't know, it's almost like we're turning into a third world establishment. It's really going to be a mess.
We quit making everything here in the United States, and now we're depending on everybody else to make stuff for us, and that's we got what we wanted. We wanted cheap prices, and now we got high prices and cheap stuff.
Got inflation running rampant and shortages of stuff. It's a mess. But anyway, I'm kind of losing the repeater as I'm kind of popping in and out on me. So I'll let you go. You have a good afternoon, and I hope to see you at the club meeting next time. KF4NXY.
If y'all have a good afternoon, 73 N4 DJC clear.
N4 DJC.
You see somebody calling me?
Yeah, this is Robert down in Johanna. He was talking about shortages and looking for stuff for Christmas at Academy Sports. I don't know which one he's going to, but there's not a shortage right now of shotgun shells. And those are always popular items.
We was headed to the one here in Anderson. So I don't know what they got there. They get stock in about two times a week. And looks like ammo's back in stock a lot of places now. Not all of it, but some of it is. But shotgun shells always have been in short supply, and they sure have gone up in price over the last 3 or 4 years, 5 years, I guess.
I had to go ahead and order online from somebody like PSA. They had some good regular brands, 2 3/4. It was down around about $1.98 for 5, which ain't cheap, not really, but you know, it depends. You know, that some of them were slugs, and some of them were 4-0, which is better for home defense than 4-0.
There. I used to pay, back when I started hunting, back in the late 60s and early 70s, I usually paid $39 a case. Winchester, Upland, you know, if 20 or 12, either one, you know, 7.5 or 8, 500. We'd shoot, I'd probably shoot 3 or 4 cases a year, I guess, you know, during the season, dove, and especially dove hunting down in South Georgia. But I loaded for a long time, but I haven't shot a shotgun, and it's been several years. I don't hunt anymore, so I don't really get out and do anything. My son does some, but yeah, it's just it's gotten so expensive now. Unless you're really serious about it, the better stuff. Reloadable, like the double A's and stuff like that, has always been pretty expensive, but they took a significant jump in the last 2 years, I guess.
Too bad, depending on who you buy it from. But 410s, if you can find them, are ridiculous.
We had a fair amount of 410s. I bought good many of those about 3 or 4 years ago, and we got a We got a 410 over and under too, so we just usually keep, you know, we got maybe 8 or 9 boxes or something like that, but we don't use that much anyway.
Invasion seeds, that'll last you to spring anyway. I had my grandmother's. It was my grandmother's 410. 1940s single shot Ivers Johnson. When it was Ivers Johnson and Gun and Bicycle Company. But it was kind of pitted up after the years. I mean, I don't know what that thing sold for. Was it $20? Was it $10? I mean, well, it was cheap back then. But it was kind of pitted up, but I cleaned it up and with an oil rag. And got it decent and took it down to the auction. Because the pawn shop only offered me $25 for it. And I was a little afraid to shoot it, even though it was just 410. Well, some guy went crazy and he bought it for $80, so I was happy to get rid of it. But I had a bunch of 410 ammo that was 40 years old, and it was paper shells, and I was kind of going, I don't know about that stuff. But heck, he bought that too.
It doesn't matter how old it is, if it's not, yeah, they usually use those wax, and they waxed them real heavy too. If they were, as long as they weren't swelled up, it really didn't make much difference as long as the primers, as long as they got damp and primers were still good. I shot paper shells up into the mid-70s that I'd had for many, many years and didn't have any trouble out of them. I always kept them dry, though, and kept them out of the, didn't keep them anywhere damp, you know, kept them inside the house. I still got some now. You could probably go out and they shoot just as well as anything else would, but again, it's just, thought they had been, got exposed to the damp or been stored in the basement or somewhere like that, they're probably still just as good as they were when they loaded them originally.
Well, that was the thing. Some of them had swelled up. And like I said, they might have been older than that. But she'd use that gun. She'd go out and she lived in Marion in the Clinchfield Mill section up on a hill. And they had actually a pretty good piece of property. When they bought it back in the 20s, it was about an acre and a half. So that was a lot of land, but it was kind of steep for me, and compared to a lot around there, it wasn't too bad. But she raised a good garden. And she'd raise them little runner tomatoes. They call them Tommy Toads up there instead of cherry tomatoes or what have you. Well, she'd have us out there picking them with her. And then she'd say, just back off. And she'd go in the house and she'd get that little one-shot shotgun. And boom! And then she'd reach down with the barrel and pick up the copperhead. Because the copperheads love getting the Tommy Toads. Maybe call them toads because that's where the toad frogs hung out with to get the bugs, and then the copperheads came in to get the toads, so the frogs. But she could handle that. She had not palsy, but she had what was called a familial shake, and she could hold that shotgun, and you know, it didn't have enough kick to it. But I might get me another one. They got a couple of them that are break down, fold in half. And coming up Christmas, they'll probably be $99, $100. And I might get one of them. I've got a 12-gauge, but, you know, sometimes you just don't care for the recoil, and it's literally overkill for what you need it for.
I've owned a few 410s over the years, not many of them. They had a 42 skeet gun for a while, and I've had a couple of 410, you know, I had a 410 side-by-side, and my son's got a 410 over under now, but it's just, you know, I just had them as novelty more than anything else. A lot of people used to squirrel hunt with them, but just not enough pellets in a 410. The pattern's just not dense enough after about 25 yards to be of any, be, you know, they work fine for rabbits, but squirrels are a lot tougher than rabbits are. And the pattern's not very dense either, like even a 28 gauge is a lot denser pattern, even though it's just pattern better because it's a bigger bore. But, I think what's happened to the 410, though, is it all, you know, they've come out with all these 410, you know, revolvers now, 2.5-inch shell, you know, revolvers that are, you know, like the Judge and, you know, a couple of other ones, I think, you know, Governor for Smith & Wesson. And those things have taken over And that's where all the 410s, a lot of people put, you know, turkey in with 410s now, but they use that tungsten shot in them, and, you know, they'll kill them. I mean, they use number 8 tungsten, they'll kill them just as dead as a hammer. That's about 45 yards, and I know people have used them further than that, but they use, you know, dots, use scopes on the shooting me, but it's such a dense pattern, a tungsten pattern, well, they make pretty good use out of them. Although, you know, years ago, that's not anything you'd do to create with a turkey gun.
Roger that. I tell you, you're talking about over, under, and side by side. You talk about expensive. And even in a pump, you can get a Mossberg 500 and a 12. You can get it for sometimes they might find it for $279. And a 20 gauge at about $40 or more. But a 410, I saw one. What did they want? Oh gosh, it was in the $400-some range for the 410. But you mentioned those pistols, the governor and judge. They're not really a real good concealed carry, unless you've got some big overall pockets, because they are heavy. And my brother's looked at one of them little old bonded Derringers, but I told him, I said, that's a little short. Even with a 410, that might not be a good thing. Have you seen them Diablo 12 gauge, 6-inch 12 gauge, side by side? That has got to be an experience and a half to shoot.
Derringers at 410, you might as well, you're going to have to pick one of those up after you shoot it, because it ain't staying in your hand. Bond's making, I think my son showed me a bond the other day. They're making some of the smaller calibers that have a polymer frame. It's real lightweight, pretty handy, but I'm just not a Derringer kind of guy. But, those 410 Derringers, those things, they made them, 45s, and, I don't know if they made one 44 Magnum, right, but I wouldn't want to be shooting. I hadn't seen that Diablo, but I have seen, it's been years ago, one guy that I met, an acquaintance of mine, he collected guns, and he had an Ithaca auto gun, a Marvel game gun. Of course, all those are, you got to have a, that's considered to be, short barrel shotgun, so you got to have the ATF, what stamp is now. It used to be about $10 on the shotgun. It's not like a suppressor or machine gun. He had an Ithaca auto gun, which is basically a 20 gauge side by side, just a pistol grip, and it's only, the barrel on it's about 14 inches long or something, might be 12. And he's got he had a Marvel's game gear, which was I think it was 12 or 14 inches. And they didn't call it the Air Force didn't call it the M6 or something else. It was over under they'd used, and it was had 22 hornet on top and a 410 on the bottom. It had a 14 inch barrel. He didn't have any of the suppressors, didn't have any machine guns, but he was into those short barrel, any other weapon category, type collectors. And they had a pretty nice collection of stuff. A lot of stuff was real rare. You hardly ever see those auto guns for sale at all anymore. There's not many of them around to begin with, because they quit making those back in the 30s before the NFA, National Firearms Act, went into effect.
I'll look that up. But what these guys shooting them Diablos, they shoot one of them 1 3/4 that Aguila makes, and Federal makes them too. Many shots I forgot what Federal calls them, but Aguila calls them many shots. And mostly they're number 8 bird shot, or they do make I want to say Federal makes a 4-0, which some people recommend is a better for indoor than double-0, being that it is, the pattern is better and there's less damage and chance of the pellets going through the sheetrock and hurting an innocent on the other side of the door in a home invasion situation. But the 1.5s, they got less recoil, but, you know, they do the job at 30 feet. They're just a little bit more expensive, and they're hard to get. Harder to get. You pretty much have to order them. I'm thinking on adapting. This Mossberg I bought at Academy a couple weeks ago, they actually had the cheapest price. Probably going on sale here at Christmas for $40 off, but I wanted it, and I just said, well, I'll just buy the cheapest Maverick they've got. You can put that rubber adapter in there made by Oppo of Texas that allows you to shoot the chamber and load the 1.5 or 1.75 in it, and it works just fine. But it's only for Mossbergs. 88s, 500s, and 590s.
About that Mossberg 500, that 500 and that turkey gun in 410, that's about 450 if you can find one. They were really hard to find last year. There's a wait list most places for them because people got into that tungsten shot deal with the turkeys, and of course it never recoiled to amount to anything either. But those short shells, I've seen those there in England for many years. They built some nice, Holland, I don't think they ever built one, but a lot of the other, British game guns, side-by-side game guns, they made them in 2-inch, 12-gauge. They shot 12-gauge over there more than anything else. 20 just didn't, it was almost non-existent. They shot 12. I've seen some that had 2 and 2.5-inch chambers that were imported here. It's been years ago. There were a couple of guys that imported the shells, tin shells, were even getting hard to get in England. But I think they had it's kind of like that 2 9/16 that some of the older Browning A5s had a 2 9/16 inch chamber, so they didn't, they weren't quiet long enough for you to get a lot of people reamed down where they fed right up for 2 3/4 inch. They were short chambered though, the early guns were. And but the side-by-sides, you can still find those 2-inch ones every once in a while. 2, 2.5 is a little more common. 2.5 is a little more common. But, they would only shoot, ounce a shot or something like that. And I don't remember whether they used those. They didn't use them for bass shooting or anything like that. They used them for, maybe rising birds or something. I don't remember now what the deal was on those, but they were relatively popular. You could certainly get them up until sometime in the 50s, I guess, but they were still expensive. I mean, you're talking about, even now, you're talking about maybe a gun that's 7 years old, and it's probably still around $5,000-$6,000, I guess.
I haven't heard in 40 years or more, Risenberg. And then it was just kind of mentioned, back then. Those Diablos, they make them, they're side-by-side. They start about $500, $499.99, and you get just an old blued one with polyester-looking stock, or you can get one with kind of a little fancier. But they go on up, I think, to about $700, and that's an 11-inch. But, gosh, if 410s and, are kind of spunky to handle in a revolver, can you imagine? I would say they should have made a side-by-side 410 in an 11-inch, might have been, and it's an NFA. I mean, it's one of them non-classified things that go bang, but kind of like them shorty, legalized short Mossberg, I forgot what they call the Maverick, the cheaper version, but it's the Shockwave in the 590s. I've been told that they aren't the most comfortable, nor are they the most accurate within that 30-foot spread. And you were talking about pellets in the 410. I'll let it drop for a second. They had a demonstration of a guy shooting a 410 with was a number 3 buckshot. And then there's the wad and 3 little pellets. And when he fired it, and I don't think he had the 28-inch barrel. He had something shorter, wasn't it, 18 and a half. But they made one little hole at about 30 feet. All 3 pellets went in the wad went through the same hole. So if you were shooting in the dark, you might still miss somebody. Hopefully they'd have enough sense. They weren't a total crazy famoosed by that time. But he said the pattern really wasn't that good. And that's where he somehow or another said number 4 was the best spread out of a normal home security barrel. But they didn't like them them bird head. So they, you know, you think shooting from your hip, but they said it was, they weren't all that accurate.
All that accurate, but when I stick them in your rib, it'll be pretty accurate.
Close to a crackhead, you know, they might get some crack on me if I get that close.
They say Friday. Nah, I'll stick with something a little more conventional, I guess. But they got some interesting stuff now. All ATF has got to do is just make another rule, and they'll be people with shot waves and other stuff. They'll be having to do something else with them, I guess. Unless you got a solid rule on it, it's real hard to. This stuff grandfathers in and all this sort of thing, it's going to create some problems for somebody on down the road. They keep pushing the envelope on them, and anyway, it's just not a... I wouldn't buy one. If I had one, something like that, I'd just get me a preaching gun and set it up under an AR-15.
KD4SRRID. Oh, mentioning, you were talking about ammo. What is your theory, or maybe fact that you know, that the most popular shell of the past 125 plus years, that being the .30-06, just disappeared? Everybody's got a .30-06 or knows somebody with a .30-06, but you couldn't get the ammo. Is that a conspiracy, perhaps, of the rifle manufacturers to make you buy something new and all these other crazy calibers? Well, the 30s aren't too bad, but 308s, but you know what I mean. 30-06 was around for a long time and is still overall effective for what it does, but just try finding shells on the shelf.
I don't know what the reality is or not, but I guess you have to take into consideration if they're running companies like Federal and, well, you know, Federal's all in the same group as, they're in with CCI now anyway, so they're all in the same group. They used to be Omar, I don't know who it is now, and Remington started this business back up, and, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, they can only run. They're in 30 caliber stuff. They only run one line of that. And there's still a lot of, I guess, and I don't know, I'm not familiar enough with what they're using right now, but I imagine there's still a lot of crew serve weapons that run a 7.62, you know, like a 308. And that's probably takes the majority of it. And the other thing, too, is it does, you can see it. You know, I've seen them on the shelf, and they didn't last 5 minutes either. So people are hoarding it, too, I guess. But, that's the same situation, I think. I think with the 380 and 9mm, they'll run one line with 380, and then they'll come in behind and run mostly. They run mostly 9mm, but all those the way those fully automated machines work on those lines, at least they run one case head size. And that's what they run. They run like an alt-6 case head size, and they have to change everything up to load the no matter what it is, you know, 25-06, whatever it is, 243, that's the old case head size, and they can't just change on a dime, so they'll make a run every once in a while. And there's a lot of 30-06s out there, but I'll be honest with you, I don't know, it's not as popular as it once was with all these new mid-action and short-action calibers, you know, 6.5s and that sort of thing. It seems to have been taken over. So that'd be my only theory on it. I can't think of any other reason. I don't think they're trying to pressure anybody into buying anything because, you know, they want to sell ammo. They sell what's popular.
Well, like I said, I wonder if some people were in the manufacturing, not the ammo followed along, but that the gun manufacturers decided, hey, you know, the guy's got an 80-year-old 30-06. We got to sell some guns, so let's make it planned obsolescence and just tell the manufacturers to cut back on it. I got a sack of ammo around here somewhere that Mom had to mention would hide things, and but it's up here somewhere. It was a big old sack that my brother never used, but it was in good shape last time I saw it. But hopefully she didn't throw it out before she had to go to the home, but wouldn't put it past me. She threw my passport out. I don't know, maybe that was to keep me at home even though it expired. But getting back to the weaponry, my brother's got a Remington 742, and he's going to take it to a gunsmith and just have him check it over. He's got an 1100 Remington automatic. He bought it at the Zayers back in 1978 or 9. It was $157. And it was just the cheapest 1100 you could get. Get back over to the shotguns for a second. Just had the plain Jane stock and only took the 2 3/4. But he only used it to go to turkey shoots. And he was pretty good at it. He'd load their load up, name, and he'd go home with $300 a weekend, which was, you know, he never did get the turkey. That was kind of the, you know, the, what do you call it, the bad consolation prize. Everybody else wanted the money. Well, he was taking the money, and then he got involved with his current wife, and he put all that aside. And since then, though, he still got that one. He bought him a brand new Browning, got her a good Stoger over and under, a Colt pistol, and they were still in the box, and the trailer burnt down, and they went with it. Never fired a shot out of any of them. But he still got the 1100 and the 742.
Well. Familiar with the 9mm and why it is here?
Oh, it was Henry Luger's. Luger took it. This other gentleman, I know he knows more about it than I do, but this is what I know. It was, he took an earlier design and cut it down to make the 9x19 Parabellum. And the German Navy took it in on in 1903. And then the Army took it in like 1905 or 1907. He sent a whole bunch of boxes over to Springfield, and they really liked it. But we decided to adopt the, it was Henry Browning. I guess it was old Browning that was behind it. He was behind everything back then. He decided on the 45 ACP. And for better or worse, because my brother told me about them 1911s he had in Vietnam were they weren't the best for anything back then. They were significantly improved, but he said when it did fire, it was effective. That's about all I know about the 9mm. But please tell us why everybody wants a 9 now. That just seems to be the thing. I wants me a 9. Is what my friend at the pawn shop hears all the time.
I can tell you I'm prior to law enforcement, retired, and I wouldn't carry a 9mm for nothing. I'd rather have a knife. The reason they designed 9mm was for war was if you shoot somebody with 9mm, most of the time it wouldn't be a fatal shot. So you shoot one person, you got a wounded, and now you got two or three medics that have to carry one victim out, and you got all this manpower tied up for just one shot wounding a soldier or whatever. But 9mm, I've seen them shot, I've seen them hit suspects and whatnot. They don't do the job. I would never own a 9mm, personally.
The reason I say a 9mm is I've got a totally unpleasant to shoot, but very, for what it is and my ability, an accurate pocket 9. And at the time, you couldn't get 380s, and the 9's got more than the 380. I could not find a 38. Well, I could find the pistols, but I couldn't find the daggum ammo for a year. And 357s, oh, even today, forget about it. You know, you're going to have a hard time getting 357. Almost 357 is almost too effective. And you being from law enforcement, I guess those situations up in New York where, 357 went through the perp and then nailed somebody behind them.
That's true. You're responsible when it leaves that barrel and where it lands. So if it goes through the perp, then it goes somewhere else. You're responsible for that. But I just love the 45. We've used them, and they were much more effective than the 9s. When I started back in the mid-80s, we carried the 38-plus Ps and the revolvers, and they were pretty good. But nowadays, you got to step up and get modern with semi-automatics and stuff and get away from that revolver stuff from my...
I just saw the review that guy up there on YouTube that does the TFB, the Texas whatever deal. He's kind of a halfway smart aleck, but and comedian. But he was saying a 357 wheel gun, especially that 8-shot. That is it, Colt or no? Is it Smith and Wesson? Anyway, one of them that you can't hardly. That's just good stuff. And if you want to shoot the 38s in, it's almost no recoil at all for your practice. But 357s, it is painful, not hand surgeon, carpal tunnel, permanent injury type painful. But it works. And then that brings up 10mm, which... was invented for the FBI, right? Was it them? And then they didn't like it, and then it set and did nothing, and then now that's the bear gun. Get you a 10 for that bear or hog that comes up upon you, and it's you versus them.
For our ID.
And for DJC Friday, I've got one of our family cousin, actually, I guess. He's got multiple variations of 10s, and he carries Glock 10 sometimes. He's got a lot of deer with it, and he's got a 6.10 Smith revolver. That's a really good cartridge in a revolver, too. That's the only one think it would be. But it's right at 41 Magnum, especially if you shoot with a 2.10 or something like that bullet. It's not that bad. It's and out of the Delta Elite Colt, it's got Colt's a good gun. It's really, I think it's really hard to rack though, because it's got all this double spring stuff to keep it from beating the frame up. And it's a family. We got rid of it a number of years ago. But a 10 Glock's not totally unpleasant to shoot. But you're talking about those 10s at the FBI. I wish they'd, of course, the FBI would never do it. I'd love to get those HKs in 10mm, select fires. I'd love them put them available somewhere. that'd be a great gun out of a select fire built on that HP5K chassis.
But you know, when you get into that caliber, you still have to go back to a wheel gun. And, a snub nose will fit in your pocket. It's curved. There's no racking. And if you get the 8-shot, well, I look at it this way. These cats that go out here said, man, I got 20 rounds of 9 in my pistol. I'm going like, you want a gunfight. You're not that. That's not self-defense. I said, you want to spray and spray. I'm not saying that they're, you know, don't play war. You got somebody come through the front door. You want them headed out the other way. Or not headed out the other way. You want them, you hate to say it, but the ink stopped. Their behavior altered. And like I said, I know I'm not going to get this little old Diamondback I got, and people poo-poo those. The 4th-gen ain't bad. It is uncomfortable to shoot. You shoot 50 of them, you're saying, that's good. I'm good for the day. Because you feel everything. But they do fit in your pocket. And Diamondback's been good. I mean, you know, you call them up, you talk to them and everything. But I'm kind of debating, do I want to try to find a .357 revolver or go with a 10? And I bet you know more about this. Them Rock Island 10 millimeters, the tacks or whatever they call them, that's a heavy gun, but it's well made, but... what's the one that, if you still want to practice and you got a bunch of 40s, it'll take 40s without causing problems, since a 10 millimeter is just really a long 40 anyway, but a lot of them won't chamber, I heard, 40s, except for that Smith. Or is it a Springfield? I don't know. It's one of them.
Not that familiar with them. Like I said, the 16 is a real nice revolver. I don't know how hard they are to find now, but... And 40, it's real hard. I mean, 40, you can find 40 ammo just about anywhere, and it's getting harder to find that, too. People wise to buying it up, too, just like everything else. I don't know, when you get outside and ram, if you don't get a, you know, six-shot revolver, anything over 40, you know, 44, you might as well go ahead and get a 44 Magnum and be done with it. It's going to be the same weight, and you got multiple bullet weights you can shoot, and shoot 44 specials in it. Only problem is the ammo, if you don't handle it, the ammo is just absorbing it now. I think the last 50-round box of Federals I saw, it had a decent bullet in it. You know, used a decent 240 bullet jacket, but I think they were in the neighborhood of about $70 a box. So it's not like it was. So you can't shoot it a lot. And 44 Specials the same way, but... If you can handle an in-frame gun like a 16, you might as well go ahead and get a, you know, 44 Magnum, I guess, and that'd be the easiest thing to do. But it is, like I said, I know one guy that's got one, he loves his, know another guy that I don't know very well, but he carries his a lot, too. It's a nice gun. I mean, it's like I said, it's just like any other in-frame. It's well-built, but I don't know... I mean, I've seen the old Smiths that they made a number of years ago. They had the, I want to say the 9, it might be the 940, that had the, where you didn't have to use, it's got 9 millimeter rounds, but you didn't have to have the moon clips. It had a special extractor, those things are bringing, you know, they're bringing $1,500 to $1,800 now because they're just rare. And Ruger made one for a while too, I think. And, you know, Ruger did come out with a rim 9 millimeter round at one time. But then again, you might as well just get you a 38 special and be done with it, or a 357 and a small revolver and be done with it. Unless you just want something out of the ordinary.
He's got these 450 Casull or 460 Casulls and everything. And I said, you want a hand cannon. Where you just have to have the next biggest size up. And unfortunately, I came into a shooting range down in Columbia. Well, it's West Columbia, Casey. And saw some of the cleanup after some guy tried to single hand a 500 and turned around on him. And that was, needless to say, nobody else got to shoot that day. There was an investigation for several days afterwards about how that incident happened. But, 357, I mean, wasn't it designed to shoot through the door of the old rum runners because the 38 wouldn't do it?
Well, but back in the 30s, they made a metal jacketed bullet, not like we have now, but actually it was a pointed, like it had a sharp conical point on it. And they're supposed to do that to be able to shoot through the radiators and maybe the the size of an engine. But I don't know what it actually did. That's the other reason they came out with 38 Super, supposed to do the same thing. And those were both designed about the same time. But the 38 Super, in standard form, it was 1300. Originally, it was about 1300 feet per second with 125 grain bullet. That's 357 velocities. And when Smith and Wesson developed it, they just, they used an 8 3/8 inch barrel, and of course they got more velocity out of it and used 158 grain bullet. And but it's built on M frame too, so it's the same deal. I mean, but that was their reasoning. But and then people always liked 44 specials and 45s. And I've had one of the guys that I've known for quite a few years had a 454 pre-long to a 6-inch barrel, and I wouldn't shoot it. I knew my hands aren't that big, but I've had four Freedom Arms revolvers, but the one I had, I think it probably the most recoil per ounce, it probably had a Model 97 45 Colt, and with a 300 grain bullet, about 1250, that thing was more than a handful. It only weighed about 35 ounces. I mean, it was a stunner.
KD4 SRRID. I bet so. I don't really like Tara stuff now, but I had one back in the 90s that was a plain, blued, hammerless 357. 38, 5 round, and I should have never got rid of it because it was actually a good run for Taurus. I paid $225 for it, and I went shop, and the guy later on, he said, "You still got that 357?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, I'll buy it back from you. I'll give you what you paid for it." And I thought about it, and come up insurance was due or something. I said, decided to sell it. Well, I went back in there and used. He had it for $275, and that was back in the 90s. Now, you were talking about the Ruger. They make one now. It's a 100. It's not the 101. Well, they make a 101. I've held that. That's a 3-inch 357. It's a little bit longer than the 2, but it's not quite a 4, and it will fit in your pocket. But it's a lady owned it, and she swears she pawns it every once in a while. She needs a little money. But she's come back and got it 5 times, and we're waiting on her to see if she comes back out this time. I might get that. But it's a 101. But they Ruger made one, didn't it, that came with the 38 357 cylinder and the 9mm cylinder, if you just want to, you have a bunch of that and you want to plunk around with it.
Blackhawks like that years ago. You don't see them anymore. I don't think they do anymore. They come with a 9mm 357 cylinder. But they're usually 2 3/4 inch. So I think not threes. And the GP100 is kind of like a L frame size, same size as the L frame Smith. It's a little beefier gun. That was the gun that they used. They when they dropped the Security 6, that's the GP100 is what they came out with to compete with Smith's L-frame. And those are good guns, too. They make a 3-inch in that, too. Yet the SP-101, so they're generally, the 357 of them are generally pretty good guns, but the double-action pulls on some of them are absolutely 14 or 15 pounds. They're not anything like the 9 or 10 pounds that what most people love, a 9-pound double action, and that's about what they do. The new Colt King Cobra's about 9 pounds, the Python's about the same thing, and 9 pounds of double action is really good double action weight. You don't have to worry about single action then, because you can shoot it pretty accurately then. The SP-101s have got a good reputation. They're strong guns, they're a little bit bigger than the J-frame T special. But they're not quite as big as the K-frames. Some of those Rugers have the GP100 and the SP-101, you know, they've got like a stud that goes down through instead of having a full, like a frame, usually, or some of them do. I don't know whether they still do that or not, to be honest with you. But Ruger designed anything with a coil frame, it just had like a thing that went down through the bottom of it. And that's what you, that's how you, you know, some of the grips. It might be another model I'm thinking about. That, but that, both of those are good guns. They're real strong. They're overbuilt. They're a little heavy, but in a double action pulls, or a little bit on the heavy side too. But they're good, sturdy guns. And if you find one at a reasonable price, I'd grab it up.
Well, at 101, I think Kevin's going to try it. If the lady don't come back and get it, he's going to try to get around 450 or 5 for it. Now, that small town market, you know, here in Clinton, next door to me. And I understand, but it's this, she's fired it, but it's immaculate. And it just, that 101 just fits my hand. It's comfortable. The grips are comfortable. They're long enough. And she must be a big hand lady. I don't know, but I've never met her. But anyway, I just like the way it feels. And a lot of semi-autos, I'm just not real big fans of. I like some of the Turkish ones. The Koenigs, as far as semi-automatic, they only make 9s. Or at least they only import 9s. And then Tesis, which is SDS imports, they're not, you know, they're pretty good for what they are. Just Turkey's in a mess right now, much worse than us, and they want to start a war with Greece. So I told everybody, I said, you ain't going to be able to get you magazines and parts and pieces. You know, eventually the Americans going to, unless they backstocked a lot, I said, I'd be kind of wary of it. The only real Turkish gun I like are the Stover shotguns, which, of course, that's owned by Benelli now, and you see a lot of Benelli ideas in those, but I digress. Well, I didn't mean to keep you this long, but I did enjoy and learn a whole lot from somebody that's knowledgeable. I was into guns when I was young, and then I, like ham radio, I just got out of it, you know? So I'm coming back, rebuilding on both ends, and just ain't got a whole lot of money to buy quality. Like I said, I kind of hang my head when I say Diamondback, but the fourth gen, it had a bad little old pocket pistol, and it's no less unpleasant to shoot than the SIG the 365 SAS. They are equally unpleasant, and but about built the same way.
Make a lot of serviceable guns out there. The R still builds a good gun. They kind of come and go in quality. If you get a good one, it's a good one. And RIA, these Rock Island Arsenal revolvers, small revolvers, they're a little rough, but they're pretty well built, actually. And they're not bad at all for the price range. But at SP-101, at around $400, that's a little on the high side for a user, but they, I tell you what, these guns have gone up so much in the last year and a half. The Stratosphere and Smith & Wesson has too. The only SP-101 I ever owned was had a 22 with a 4-inch barrel they made early on, just back in the late 80s, I guess, late 80s. And I bought on sale for $199, and I kept myself not keeping it. It had a fixed, you know, just a regular ramp front sight, and it had the rear sight was just adjustable for when you jump. It had a little clicking, but it wasn't adjustable for elevation. But it was a good shooting with a gun. Had a, the one I had, they made it with a half underlug and a full underlug. I think mine might have had a half underlug barrel, but it was a really nice gun. Real comfortable, like you say. The grip fits a lot of people's hands. If you can get a deal on it, I sure grab that one, because that'd be a really nice gun. And they Ruger back to products. Anything ever goes wrong with you, you don't have to worry about that. They'll fix it. Well, it's a good talk to you. I need to get out of here anyway. Come back downstairs. See what's going on there. May have to run out here in a little bit and run a couple of years. Great talk to you, and I always enjoy talking about guns. I don't do much of it anymore, but I can still talk about it. Talk to you later, 73, N4DJC Clear.
N4DJC Clear, KN4DCK, this is KD4SLR again. Thanks. It was a privilege talking to someone with your amount of knowledge on the subject. And to, like I said, bringing up that name I hadn't heard, and Risenberg, and so long, that's one I forgot about. Well, you take care. Have fun out there today, and hopefully we'll hear you on the net tonight and maybe get a chance to talk to you again. This is Kilo Delta 4, Sierra Romeo Romeo Robert, down in beautiful Joanna, South Carolina. We're clear.
DJC in 4DJC in 0TR. 0TR.